Again, I greet you in Jesus' name. I was impressed with those devotional thoughts as Jesus asks us for complete surrender to Him. That's asking a lot. Not too much, but supreme loyalty to Him. And we have not been asked to give our life, not in the physical sense. Certainly we need to be surrendered to Him to be His children. But we do want to be faithful to Him and true to Him. And that it gets tested in our daily life as well. Well, we do have a wonderful God, and it's just important for us to continue to remind ourselves about how wonderful our God is. And I want to read another little article here. This article is actually rather old, but and it's talking about the human brain, and it compares it to computers. And like I say, the article is rather old, but the concept is still true. I'm sure computers have improved since this time that the article was written, but I don't know that the human brain has improved, but our understanding of the human brain still is multiplying, and it is still very, very fascinating. So I want to read this article. We've been told that the mindless process of evolution produced a thinking brain over billions of years. Yet today's brightest scientists and their greatest technological advances are still incapable of duplicating the human brain's awesome potential. They concede that the computer on our shoulders is still the very best one in the universe. In June of 2000, IBM proudly announced their newest and most powerful supercomputer, ASCI White. They proclaimed that it performs 12.3 billion operations per second. It has 8,192 microprocessors and is 1,000 times more powerful than their prior computer, the ASCI Blue. It covers 9,920 square feet of floor space, spanning an equivalent of two NBA basketball courts, and weighs more than 160 tons. This is pretty massive. I know those numbers have changed tremendously since then. But how does this technological achievement compare to the mere 2 or 3 pound compact human brain? The Associated Press reported, IBM's latest machine is intended to continue to advance toward matching and eventually surpassing the computing capacity of the human brain. Did you catch that? Compared to the world's greatest supercomputer, the human brain remains superior. If computers don't happen by chance, neither can the brain. I believe God alone should be given the credit as the grand designer and creator of all things. This self-evident truth is ever present in everyday routine activities. Consider the simple process of reading this article. In less than 1/5 of a second, the title word inconceivable is directed from this article to our amazing eye, then to the front of the brain's left hemisphere. Now begins the interpretation of its meaning. At the very same time, a different frontal brain region considers other potential meanings. Still within this first second, after the frontal region has applied a meaning, a back region of the left hemisphere becomes active. It's then believed that the individual meaning of the word is harmonized within the context of the phrase or sentence. Sentence reading is an even more incredibly complex process. Please never again say, "I'm just simply reading." Instead, give God the glory for His wise design. The brain also enhances reading comprehension by suppressing useless stimuli from ever even entering into the mind. For example, background noise and the constant stimulation of clothing touching our skin is routinely ignored. Incredibly, 99% of all sensory information is rejected as insignificant and warrants no response. Only when important information is perceived are the impulses channeled to the appropriate regions of the brain. Lastly, the brain is also programmed with a rerouting format that makes it far superior to any known computer. Science News explains, the brain maintains a distinct advantage over the computer, resilience. When crucial interactions between neurons falter, the brain reroutes signals in an attempt to maintain the ability to think, remember, and perceive. In the same article, neurologist, computer scientist James Regia of the University of Maryland in College Park says, when you damage just one small part of the computer, the whole thing will collapse. The brain is very different. It is able to adjust its own circuitry. It is inconceivable to praise evolution for the brain's formation or its ability to monitor, maintain, and regulate all the bodily functions. The precious gift of memory and the tremendous variety of brain functions testifies of an all-knowing, all-wise Creator and Savior. To Him alone should we devote all our hearts and dedicate our minds. Now, we take reading for granted, but it's a very complex thing that the brain does as it reads, rapidly reads those words and perceives what it means and lets us continue to read, puts it into the sentence and lets us continue to read. We have an amazing, God has given us an amazing gift of the brain. All of us have one. And we all use that. Sometimes we think we should use it more, and we probably should. But it is a outstanding gift. Now, some mind-boggling facts on the brain. It weighs only 2 to 3 pounds. It's compactly designed to fit inside the human skull. It contains about 10 billion neurons and 100 billion glial cells, has an estimated 100 trillion synapses. It performs 10 to the 15th power computations per second. It holds at least 10 to the 14th power bits of information. The potential brain capacity is estimated at 20 million books, filling a library shelf 500 miles long. I don't have mine that full. Amazing, though. It filters irrelevant stimuli or information from important data. It directs and controls sequential brain activity like a central programming unit. It recalls facts and events. It recognizes objects and faces. It remembers navigational routes. It reasons, plans, and solves complex problems. It comprehends written and verbal languages. It develops and fine-tunes grammatical and pronunciation skills. It appreciates visual beauty and the musical arts. It's intimately associated with emotional states, morals, and behaviors. It regulates and coordinates tissue function from the cellular level, leading to muscular activity. It initiates innovation and creative activity. It senses humor. It integrates all the above features and yet functions as one unit. Aren't you glad you don't have to think about doing all of that? If computers, which can't do a fraction of these functions, can't happen by accident, how could the brain merely be a product of time and chance. According to the late atheist Isaac Asimov, the human brain is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. The human brain is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. God saw fit to give you one of those. Yes. God is amazing at what he does for us. We have so much to be grateful to him for. We have an amazing, amazing God. We need to continue to rejoice in him and trust in him. For a message this evening, I want to talk on faithful youth. And you can turn to Psalm 144. I think most all of us consider ourselves pretty young. Some of us recognize that our body is getting older, but we still count ourselves rather young. Here in Psalm 144, we have a beautiful picture here, and I want to read several verses here, starting with verse 11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000 in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Here we have a beautiful picture, I believe, as it talks about our sons as plants grown up in their youth, and our daughters as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, our garners, our sheep, our oxen, and living in peace and safety. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And that is the anchor of why all that happiness can be there, because God is the Lord. God is our Lord. Yes, we all want this picture. How are we going to get this picture? How are we going to experience this picture? Well, our choices in youth have profound consequences for us. And as I think of some of the choices that we make in our youth, some of the choices people have made in our youth, yes, it does affect their life. It does affect them for the rest of their life. Certainly we can change our course, and many people have. But the choices we make will definitely leave a mark on us for the rest of our life. And that is why Jeremiah, and I'm going to read this verse from Jeremiah 6, verse 16. He says, "Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest unto your souls. But ye said, we will not walk therein." But as youth, we need to stand in the ways and see. Consider the path that is before us. And ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Then choose that path. We have a choice of pathways. And that is only, we only have a choice of two pathways. There's not multiple pathways. So there's only two. Then there's only two destinations. We can choose the old paths, the paths of God, Or we can choose the paths of the world. Yes, many youths have made choices that have had a radical effect on them for the rest of their life, and some bad, and of course some good. Too many youth have crashed and never recovered. But there can be a good ending to our lives as well. And we want to choose that good ending as we choose to be with God. Youth are, of course, young. They are generally ambitious. They are generally strong. They are generally visionary. And youth can accomplish a lot. We're glad for our youth. We are. We're very glad for our youth. They are strong. And they can accomplish a lot. And they can contribute a lot to the church. Very much so. The proverb writer says, "The glory of a young man is their strength. They are strong and they can contribute." We want to look at the message in two parts. The first part is understanding the limitations of youth. Understanding the limitations of youth. First of all, being young doesn't guarantee success. Being young doesn't guarantee success. I'm just going to read a verse from Isaiah 40. Well, you're familiar with those verses in Isaiah 40, the end of the chapter there, in verse 29 and 30. Here he says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that will wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Yes, even the youth can faint and be weary and utterly fall. But it's those that wait upon the Lord that will renew their strength, that will be able to persevere on. Yes, being young doesn't guarantee success in our life. And as many a young person has experienced the hardship of failure because of choices they made, or maybe even because of choices other people have made in Lamentations 1, verse 18. Jeremiah is lamenting over Jerusalem, but he says here, "The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against his commandments. Hear, I pray you, all people, and behold my sorrow. My virgins and my young men are gone into captivity. They did not follow the Lord, and the virgins and the young men were gone into captivity." Later on in Lamentations 5, verse 13, he talks about the young men again. He says, "They took young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood." That was because they didn't follow the Lord. There's a price to pay for living a life of sin, and we need to take heed to that. Notice what he says in the next verse here. It says, "The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music." When I think of music, I think of young men. That's not the only thing I think of, but young men like their music. The youth like their music. They do. And music, of course, is a real blessing. I enjoy music. But music is not only beneficial, music can be very destructive. And music has destroyed many a young person as well. Now, the words of a song are very important. They are very important. But I believe it's the music that influences us most. What music are you listening to? Is it okay? Is it influencing you in the right way? You know, I don't like guitar music. Not that it doesn't sound nice in my ear, but I'm not saying guitar music is all bad. But I've seen too many people that have been influenced by that in a wrong way. And I know it wasn't just guitar music that destroyed them, but it was part of the package. And we could ask, I asked myself, how many young people do I want to lose because of this influence? How many young people can I afford to lose because of this influence? How many can we afford to lose? We can't afford to lose any because of that influence. Because I don't have to have guitar music to be victorious in my Christian life. I can be just as victorious in my Christian life without it. And so, I know back when I was a youth, and I'm a young person, and I saw the influence of that music on some of my friends. It's like, I do not want to let that thing change my heart from God. But what is your music like? What is it doing to you? Is it safe? Don't be careless with your music. It's powerful. Yes, keep it safe. There's plenty of good music that we can listen to. And lest music is powerful. Let's be careful with our music. It's a blessing to us. Yes, music is a blessing. Let's sing. Let's listen to music. It's a blessing. Some people like to have music playing all the time. I'm not that kind of a person. It's all right. That's all right if they do. But let's make it music that's going to be influencing us in the right direction. And young men will continue to enjoy their music. That's okay. That's to make sure it's music that is a benefit to us. Okay, well, think about understanding the limitations of youth. They need to beware of the deceptive allurements of evil. They need to beware of the deceptive allurements of evil. In Genesis 8, verse 21, I'll read this verse. It's the last part of the verse I want to get. But here's right after the flood. It says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, 'I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more anything living as I have done.'" But here God says, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." We're very familiar with our hearts. And we have evil imaginations. And we need to beware of that. And be careful because of that. There are many temptations out there. And those evil imaginations can lead to destruction. That's what happened there in Noah's time. The imaginations of from their youth were only evil continually. I think it says earlier in Genesis. That, of course, doesn't need to be our condition, our experience. But we need to guard the imaginations, our thoughts, the temptations that come our way. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers and the younger as sisters with all purity. And there he calls, he says, with all purity. You know, evil thoughts can be cast down. They must be cast down. The battle is won in the mind, and we need to fight that battle until we have victory over those things and never yield to it. Whether it means we need to sing, whether it means we need to pray, we need to resist until we win. We need to avoid the look. We need to avoid the flattery. We need to avoid the thought. It says, lust not after beauty in thine heart. We need to avoid that thought and deal with it. We need to avoid that rendezvous where we have a meeting. And you know, nowadays, we can easily have those meetings just by surprise on our phones. These unexpected and unwholesome things that all of a sudden pop up, you might say, out of nowhere. What do we do with those things? We dare not open those things. We need to block those calls. We need to deal with them decisively, that we don't become victims of that. We need to avoid her house. Sometimes we go past these stores, that adult stores they call them, or whatever they call them. What is in those places? You know, I don't know. I've never been in one, I never want to be in one, but she's in there. I don't want to meet her. I don't want to meet her. We don't want to touch her. We want to live with all purity. And beware of the deceptiveness of the allurements of evil. Understanding the limitations of youth. Number three, we are not our own. We are not free to live as we please. We are young. We have energy. We have potential. But we're not free to live as we please. We are not our own. In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, the Ecclesiastes writer, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let the heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Yes, we are not our own, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We are not our own. We need to live for our Creator. Remember now thy Creator. Yes, God has made us, and we have a responsibility to Him. Not only a responsibility, we have a privilege to be able to serve Him. We have a privilege to be able to follow Him. We have a privilege to have Him as our God, to have Him as our protector, to have Him as our leader. What a privilege it is. And we want to follow Him in the paths that He leads us. But we're not our own. We need to do His will, not ours. We can live for ourselves, of course. We are creatures of choice. But to live for ourselves, it has an allurement, of course. It sounds like the way of freedom. But Paul told Timothy, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And we don't want to be that kind of a person, even though that's attractive to us. Pleasures, of course, are attractive to us. And certainly it's all right for young people to have social exchange with other young people. But we need to be sure to take advantage of the spiritual opportunities that we have and don't waste our youth on pleasures. That's not what we're called for. God wants to bless our lives, yes. And it's all right to enjoy, other young people. That it certainly is. But don't waste your youth on pleasures. You're only young once. But if you live right, once is enough. You're only young once, but you can be immature for a lifetime. We don't want that to happen. Like in our devotions, commit yourselves to God and surrender to God. Give up yourselves. We are not our own. Understanding the limitations of youth. Number four, you can't save yourself. In Mark 10, verse 20, we have the rich young ruler. I think he comes up in three of the different of the Gospels. But here in Mark 10, verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. What he said, all these things have I done from my youth. But Jesus answered and said, he loved him, and he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And that's what we need to do. We can't save ourselves. We need to come, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. We need Jesus for salvation. We need Jesus for life. And because of that, we need to be committed to Him. We can do a lot of things, but we can't save ourselves. Only Jesus can. And so we need to take up the cross and follow Him enthusiastically. Follow after godliness. Enthusiastically embrace the ways of God. And we can experience eternal life, salvation. But without that, we won't. Understanding the limitations of youth, number five. They are lacking in wisdom and experience. Not to say that they have no wisdom. And of course, they're gaining experience every day. It's not that they just don't have any clue what's going on. But they are lacking in wisdom and experience. That's some of the limitations of youth. Not to be blamed for that. They can't help that. They're young. They just haven't had that much experience. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. Do you recognize that chapter? That's the chapter about David and Goliath. Here Saul is talking to David, and Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he, a man of war from his youth, says you just don't have the experience necessary to take on this. Well, here a young man did take on this experienced warrior. And he was doing the right thing. But God can give us wisdom for life. And we need to look to God to do that. That's what the proverb writer did. He said, I wrote these things down to give those who are young and discernment and wisdom. And we can get wisdom for life as we abide by the teachings of the Word of God. David, in 2 Samuel 18, verse 23, I'm not going to read this verse. This is when Absalom had rebelled against him. And he asked the question,
Is the young man safe? Now, when he asked that question, Absalom had been killed. He was not safe. But we can ask that question, is the young man safe? Are you safe? And when I ask that question, you know, what about that device that we have? Are you safe? What about how you use that thing? What about what you access with that device? Is it okay? What do you look at? What do you watch? Is it a tool? Or is it your master? Do you waste a lot of time on it? Is the young man safe? You know, those things, we have these devices and they're here. It's vain to wish we could go back when they weren't here, because they are. And so it's okay, they're here. But we need to be safe. All of us need to be safe. And as young people, be careful that you don't become overcome by these things. You don't have to. It's not too hard. It's okay. But you need discernment. You need to be on guard yourself. You need to take advice from other people so that you can successfully survive in this world we live in. And I'm not suggesting you can't barely make it. We can successfully survive if we continue to follow God. We want to be faithful to God, faithful you. And now for a little bit, I want to look at overcoming the limitations of youth. Overcoming the limitations of youth. Number one is make immediate plans to overcome the problem of death. We cannot be successful without God in our lives, and we need to make immediate plans to overcome this problem of death by committing ourselves to God. And I'm going to read those verses from 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, in verse 51 and 52. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Then let's go down a few more verses. He says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Be abounding in the work of the Lord. The opportunities that you have to serve Him, the opportunities to serve others, the opportunities to serve in the church. Be abounding in those things. Overcoming the limitations of youth. Number two, set your affection on things above. In Colossians 3, we have those verses. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this world. But I like that word set. Set. Place your affection. Decide where you're going to put your affection. Direct your affection. Direct where your affection will be. Set it on heavenly things. We have our affections, but we can direct where our affection is going to be. And we need to do that. We need to set our affection on things above. We need to decide, that's where I'm going to look. That's what I'm going to love. That's what I'm going to desire after. We need to willfully choose. We need to willfully channel where our affection is going to be. Thirdly, in overcoming the limitations of youth, we need to flee youthful lusts. They're in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Don't pursue the world and its attractions. The world is around us and it appeals to us. The world has its stress. The world has its recreation. The world gives its approval. We can seek after all those things. But that's not what we want to seek after. We want to seek the approval of God. We want to seek the approval of the people of God. And it's as we do that, that we can experience victory and overcome the limitations of youth. Fourthly, in overcoming the limitations of youth, respect God's authorities over you. This is a very important form of protection for you that God has designed. And it's people that are over you, I know. Imperfect people. But that's how God designed it. I'm not going to say unfortunately, because it's a good way. Even though it seems challenging, not only for youth, but for older people at times. But respect God's authorities over you. There is a tremendous protection when we do that. And of course, God's way is the best way. Respect the church authorities. They're not perfect either. They make mistakes. And you're welcome to talk to them about it. But respect them. Always respect them. Beware of the fellowship of common enemies. What do I mean by that? Beware of the fellowship of common enemies. You know, it is easy to fellowship around criticism of your church leaders. That's easy to do, and I'm not accusing you of doing that. Certainly not everybody does that, and I'm glad. But that can easily happen, and it is an unwholesome thing. Anybody can find a fault with any church leader. It is not a spiritual gift. Anybody can find a fault with any church leader, and they can drum up support for that. So beware of that. You won't succeed spiritually if you pursue that path. So support your leaders. They may need criticism sometime, and it's all right to give it to them. But respect them as you do that. Also, respect your parents and honor them. Fifthly, look to God for guidance. Pray and look to God for guidance. God is leading your life. God wants to lead your life. And we need to be open to His leading. We need to ask Him to lead our life. We have many decisions to make as we grow up in our youth. Who our friends are going to be. Who we're going to marry, if we're going to marry. That door doesn't open for everybody. Where we're going to live, what for occupation we're going to have. All of these things, and not all of these things are fixed in our youth, I know. But there's many important decisions to make as we're young. Look to God for guidance, and He will guide you. God loves us. God is very immense and big. Our brains are big and capable, but not like God's. He's way much beyond our capabilities. And He is directing your life. Continue to look to Him. He'll direct your life in through circumstances, through brethren, through the church, through He may even speak to you. But pray to Him that He would guide your life, and He will. And as you, He will guide your life as you continue to be open to His leading. Last of all, in overcoming the limitations of youth. Choose good friends. The proverb writer talks about the young man that he said, "Come with us, join us in our," and it was not a good friend. We need to be friendly to everyone, but we need to only have as good friends those who influence us in a right direction. We need to be careful with that. Yes, we need to be friendly to everybody. Yes, we need to. But have friends that are going to help you in the way, influence you in a good way. We need all the help we can get. And so be careful with your friends. It's better to be alone than to be influenced in a wrong way by wrong people. But you won't be alone. You will find those who can support you, who you can fellowship with. They're there. You'll find them. And make good friends. Make good decisions on that. Choose good friends. And they will be a tremendous help in you, in your Christian walk, and in overcoming the limitations of youth. Well, God bless you as you continue to seek after Him and look to Him to guide your life. He will. You know, I believe we're living in the last days. I do. But I do not believe the pressures are too difficult or the task is too hard to be faithful. Our God is well able to keep us in the generation that we are living in. And I believe it is a good time to be a faithful Christian. Let's not be ashamed of it. Let's continue to believe in the ability of God to keep us on our journey and boldly follow after Him. Oh, He'll lead us. It doesn't mean it'll be peaceful. The Apostle Paul's life wasn't peaceful. Not in the, he had many, many, many temptations, many tests, many trials. But he was successful and he was a blessing and he was useful in the kingdom. And God will use you in your life for His purposes as well. The Lord bless you as you continue to follow after Him.